peace in our time. When we look at the world around us, we really wonder whether there is peace in our time. In the Middle East, the African Spring, and we are always in danger as we walk the streets. But we take comfort in the words which have been read to us. And in John chapter 14, verses 25-27, let me read to you again. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For this verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, is something which we have read a couple of times. The promise of peace is a very positive blessing. Jesus says he can give us peace. It is a gift. And then he says, this is his peace, which is different from the world. Jesus continues to show concern for his disciples' comfort in his absence. He gave them the promise of the Comforter, Jesus' promise of the power of the Holy Ghost for remembrance, to meet the disciples' needs for understanding and strength when he is gone. And they remembered in John chapter 2, verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and word which Jesus had said. This is what we remember. This is something for us to learn. We all need peace. But what is peace, really? Is peace just the absence of trouble or problem? Is peace just an atmosphere of quietness and serenity? The world defines it this way. It has to do with the surroundings. If you are strolling along Kew Gardens or along Charing Cross, you may think it's perhaps peaceful. Is peaceful the absence of noise, problem, or trouble? Then peace is a product of the surroundings. Then what is peace in Jesus Christ? Yet when we look at what Jesus said, he says peace is all about true peace. He says, peace, I live with you. It means Jesus is a source of peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. It means he is the giver of peace. Only in Jesus can we find true peace, something that the world do not have. In other words, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your surroundings. It has nothing to do with the world today. For his peace is different from the world, and something you can't find in the world. No wonder Paul says it is a peace that passes all understanding, which shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So what is the practical implication of all this? If you are worried over some things, some anxious or disturbed, you need peace in your heart. You have to turn to Jesus Christ, for that's the only way. You may find some sense of comfort by hiding in a quiet, serene place, but you'll never find true peace Emotionally, you may feel good, but only Christ can give you true comfort and peace. No wonder Jesus had to say this, because the disciples really needed it. They were about the greatest shock of their lives, because Jesus, who had been with them for 3 years, was arrested and crucified. He was forcibly taken away from them. They would be left on their own for the first time, without a teacher, a guide, and someone whom they had depended upon. The disciples knew that nothing has gone out of control. They were defeated. And moreover, Judas, one of them, had betrayed Jesus. And the soldiers arrested Jesus without a fight. And the people succeeded in crucifying him. These circumstances tell us it's a failure. They need to understand, and we need to understand, that today nothing has gone wrong in the eyes of God. For the Son of Man came to fulfill the will of God, to offer himself as a sacrifice for the salvation of mankind. For this peace can come only from the resurrected Christ. Peace is hard to come by when we strive to balance the world on our own. But we need God's invitation to give him our burdens, the weight of the world, become effortless in the risen Lord. In their most anxious moments, the resurrected Lord stood in the midst of his disciples and said, "Peace be unto you." For Jesus knew his followers were confused and frightened. They had hit rock bottom. And he says, "Peace be with you." For this is not just a salutation. It's about the peace that comes in his resurrection. We live in a troubled land. We live in a troubled world. Even the Holy Land is polluted with violence and unrest. People attempt to obtain peace by their own efforts. There are very nice songs written about climb every mountain, fly over the moon. Very idealistic, but not realistic. Before we can get peace of mind, we need to find peace with God. Unbelievers are at war with God, even they don't realize it. They are choosing to live apart from God, to live as if God doesn't exist. And yet we know that in the Easter period, there was joy. And while yet they believe not for joy, then they wondered. In Luke 24:41, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The disciples were surprised by joy. They felt that the resurrection was too far gone to be true. They were overcome with grief. But now they were overwhelmed with joy in the resurrection of their Savior Jesus Christ. For Jesus gave to his disciples, as he gave to us, the reality of his resurrection. In fact, he asked for something to eat. And they realized he was truly alive. For joy is a companion of peace. We wrongly equate joy with escaping the cares of the world. Joy helps us to overcome our concerns. It is not the absence of sorrow, for God gives joy in the midst of sorrow. The fact that Jesus can only have joy in the midst of sorrows shows that we can experience that as well. The world's joy is fleeting and artificial. And when it's gone, we are left with emptiness. But Christian joy is not a substitution. It is a transformation. It is something we become. We're prone to want God to change our circumstances, but He wants to change us, change our character. For joy that comes from God enriches our lives and enables us to feel secure even when our circumstances are shaky. For joy is a spiritual value. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness turns up more or less when you expect it. A good relationship, a job, a pleasant vocation. Joy, on the other hand, is the one who gives it. Joy from Jesus Christ. So receive His peace. It is a gift. Peace is the Lord's promise to us. It is a gift. You don't have to earn it. And trust your cares and needs to Him. Tell it to Jesus. Receive His peace. Peace, He said, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Is Jesus' concern for every believer. He gives the promise of the Comforter, the promise of the Holy Ghost, for remembrance to meet the disciples' needs and to meet our needs. For therefore, when He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered. They believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Remember, time and again in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells them, remember the word I said unto you. You can find all these references in John 15:20, 16:4, 17:3, 19:35-37, and 28:30. It's all in your inserts. Again and again, He says, remember the word I said unto you. You see, the promise of peace is a positive blessing. He wanted to show God's love and His own obedience to the world, but that the world may know that I love the Father. For Jesus offered this peace to the disciples. And what happened? It was a transformation. We notice a big change in their lives. After His ascension, we saw in the book of Acts, the disciples showed little worry or fear. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In fact, the situation in Acts was even more adverse when Jesus was with them. They faced greater persecution. Yet the disciples showed little worry. They preached the gospel with great courage. They sang with joy even when they were in prison. And Jesus said, my peace. Jesus was persecuted. He was rejected by His own people. Yet in all things He still had peace. His peace was not in the absence of difficulties. His peace was in the presence of God. For Jesus was at peace because He knew that the Father was with Him. He knew that His Father was in control. He knew that His Father would take care of Him. He knew His Father could always be trusted. And so He says to His disciples, He's giving them this same peace. Whatever the difficulties we have, we still can have the same peace that Jesus experienced. He is indeed our peace. He promised to give us peace in our times of tribulation. This is the assurance He gives when He said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is our reconciliation between God and man. As we read in Romans Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Romans 5:1-10:11. You see, for our salvation is in his sacrifice on the cross. As we read in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to receive all things to himself. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are freed from the debt of sin and receive the rights, the privileges, and the responsibilities of God's own children, whereby we can now cry, Abba, Father. So what then is God's plan? God's plan here is in the living word. Everything about God is here. He is sovereign in our lives. He can give us peace. God, if God can handle this universe, he can handle your problems. Man cannot find peace because he's not in control. We cannot control the circumstances. We cannot control our future. It would be nice if we plan our future and everything works out exactly as we had planned. We love to feel that we are in control. But the truth is, we are not. We'll never be. So we need to look to the one who is control. So peace is not a product of circumstances or situation. Peace comes only from God. It is a gift. As we read in Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. We have to let go and let God help us. We cannot depend on our circumstances, but we can depend on him and take our peace from him. So leave your burdens with him. When you know you suffer from stress or depression, rely upon him. Anxiety is often our first reaction to conflict or problems. In these moments, sometimes peace can be very difficult. Subconsciously you say, if I care, I'll worry. If this is important, I must stay upset. It's a misguided belief that outcome will be positively affected by the amount of time we spend worrying. No, your best problem-solving resource is peace. Peace in the Lord. Solutions arise easily and naturally out of a peaceful state, whereas fear and anxiety block solutions. So anxiety compounds the problem. It brings us to harbor even more turmoil. Let me illustrate about an incident about two boxers. God gave a man two boxes. He said, put all your sorrows in the black one and all your joys in the gold one. So the man heeded God's words and he had two boxes, one for joy and one for sorrow. But the gold box became heavier each day and the black one was light as before. The black one that contains his sorrows, they were light as before. So the man opened the black box and wondered why. And he saw at the base of the box a hole. For all his sorrows had fallen out. And he showed to God and said, look, I have a hole here. I wonder where my sorrows could be. And God smiled at him and said, my child, your sorrows are all here with me. I ask, Why give me the boxes? Why the gold and the black with the hole? And God said, My child, the gold is for you to count your blessings. The black is for you to let go. We are told not to forget God's benefits, to count our blessings. We must remember and give thanks for His blessings. We are not told to carry our burdens alone, for when we present our requests to God, be anxious for anything. By letting the one who is in control take care of our needs, only then can we really find peace. If you do not let go and let God carry the weight of your burdens, you will be very burdened by it. For the word peace is shalom. Shalom means fullness, wholeness. Peace comes by realizing that we are forgiven, that we already have passed our judgment test with God. Peace means that the grave is not the end of life. We can face tomorrow with calmness, with serenity, assurance and confidence. We know that whatever the Prince of Peace brings in our lives, it will be for our own good. It's something you cannot master up. Peace is God to give. So let us trust in the sovereign God who is in control. Let us pray and live our burdens with Him. Let us accept and receive the gift of peace in faith. Do not fear, do not trouble. Come and receive His peace. Life is difficult and hard sometimes, and we need to live not in anxiety. We need to pray and come to Him, for only Him, God, can give us the strength. Peace comes from God. As we read in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord bless His people with peace. Peace of God. Let me read to you the peace of God from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. You may wish to look at it yourself. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Peace with God, peace with the Lord. Let's read it together. Peace in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All we are told is to entrust our needs and problems to Him. For you see, His peace is not dependent on circumstances. His peace has brought about a transformation. Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace is our birthright. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. The word leave is in the form to bequeath, to live with you. When somebody dies, they bequeath their most valuable possessions to the people they love. Just because Jesus left His peace to us doesn't mean it automatically operates in our lives. It is a reserve we must draw from every day. For the enemy will do everything to deplete it. He knows you are in turmoil. He knows we are in problems. But God rules in our lives. God's rule pulls together believers in unity. Whatever the differences threaten the unity of the body, the peace of Christ is the arbitrator. God's peace is available to you if you choose it. If you leave it, negative emotions will overwhelm you in life. For the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit which is given to you is love, joy, and peace. This is what the Spirit produces in us. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. That means you have the option of choosing between peace and conflict. So peace, choose peace. It is your inheritance. It is your blessings. For those who do rejoice in the Lord, come to Him in prayer. For Paul here promises a special gift of peace of God. The peace of God is not the absence of war or conflict or trouble. It is a condition of our whole being. The peace of God stems from our whole experience of salvation. The peace of God is possible because Jesus Christ made salvation possible for us. The peace of God is a peace from God through Jesus Christ. As Paul says, in Christ you shall have peace. As we read in Isaiah 26:3 in the prophecy, those of steadfast mind you keep in peace, in peace because they trust in you. For those who trust in God and keep on trusting in God have a steadfast mind and a peaceful soul. It is God that we trust. It's the Lord of love whom we find our rest. For having trusted and rest in Him, we find the answer to all our stress and strain of life. Paul calls believers to have peace in all circumstances, in all our worries. Worry implies that God is not present, but to pray with thanksgiving, show a spirit of humble submissiveness. God does not promise to answer all the prayers of all our believers, but He does promise peace. We cannot change the events that cause us to worry. We cannot prevent problems from arising in our lives. We cannot foresee every difficulty. We cannot control every situation. But we can decide whether we are going to worry about every difficulty. We can decide whether we are going to let problems stress us out. For worry is a habit, and habits are deliberately acquired. That is why we decide what habits we are going to practice. Now, often we decide without much consideration. We sort of go along and allow habits to develop. But sometimes habits are something we allow to happen, and therefore something we can change. If stress and worry are your habits, you need a change. You need to change the three attitudes Paul recommends. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, make your life a joy. Learn about living in the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Prayerful in everything. Thankful in anything. And you will have the peace of God. And finally, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Renew your mind. You have a choice about going to let something consume your thoughts. But Paul shows us the right things to think about. Are things in your mind true? Are things in your mind noble and right? Are things pure and lovely? Do your thoughts lead to praise? If these are not what you are thinking, then you have thought about the wrong things. Renew your mind. Renew your mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story about a political prisoner in France in many years ago, and his name was Charnay. Charnay was thrown into prison because he had offended the emperor, and he was cast into a dungeon cell. He was left to die. So as the days and weeks passed by, Charnay became embittered at his fate. But surely, slowly, he began to lose his faith in God. And one day, in a moment of rebellious anger, he scratched on the wall of his cell, "All things come by chance," which reflected the injustice he had come by chance. So he sat in the darkness of the cell, and he grew bitter and more bitter. Then in the cell, there was a spot where a single ray of sunlight came every day and remained for a little while. And one morning, to his absolute amazement, he noticed that the hard earthen floor of his cell, a tiny blade of grass was breaking through. It was something living, something struggling up towards the shaft of sunlight that came into his cell every day. It was his only living companion, and his heart went out in joy towards it. He nurtured it with his tiny ration of water. He poured water on the plant. He cultivated it and encouraged its growth. And that green blade became his friend. It became his teacher in a sense. And one day, there bloomed from the little plant a beautiful purple flower. And Charnay found himself thinking about God. And he scratched off the thing that he had scribbled on the wall. And he wrote down, "He who made all things is God." Somehow, the guards came to know about it. And they whispered it. And the wives whispered it. And it reached the ears of Josephine, the emperor's wife. And she was so moved and so convinced that a man who loved a flower could not be a dangerous criminal. So she persuaded the emperor to release him. So Charnay was set free. You can be sure he dug out that little prison flower and took it with him and cultivated that plant in the years to come. He also pondered in his heart a verse that put there, "If so God clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you ye of little faith?" Matthew 6:30. You see, God is at control. The Bible tells us he will cause all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God has not overlooked you. Trust him. Renew your mind and think on the right things, for in so doing, you will find that you can rejoice, for God is at work and through the circumstances of your life. Rejoice in the Lord. Guard your emotions as you respond to life with gentleness. Rejoice in the Lord as you refuse to give a place in your heart for fear and worry. Instead, pray about everything. Rejoice in the Lord as he renews your thinking. Think right thoughts. When you learn to rejoice in the Lord, thanksgiving will overflow with the peace of God. For the Bible says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For these things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, the God of peace shall be with you. No one can take the peace of God from you. No one can remove the presence of God away from us. For Christ is with us as we live in the joy of his peace, knowing and trusting that we are always safe and secure in the peace of God, no matter what troubles, sufferings, sorrows, or hardship we suffer. For may the peace of God in Christ Jesus be with us. So, instead of worrying, live by what these words of Scripture. Be careful for nothing. That means do not worry. In prayer and supplication, pray and ask God for everything you need. With thanksgiving, always give thanks. And the peace of God shall be with your minds and hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Go ahead. Try God's way in your life. Amen.